Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Art of Decluttering podcast. I'm Amy Ravel. I am your host, have been for 5 years. You've had me in your ears. Today, you get a special guest in your ears with me. It's my wonderful friend, Jess Gim. Hello, Jess.
Hey, Amy.
I feel like we've done it. We've definitely done at least one episode together before, haven't we?
Yes. Yeah, we did. Yeah, a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this one is going to be a riot. Because it's part of our ADHD series, and I was just saying to you before I hit record that what I'm loving about the ADHD series is I'm not really filtering my own ADHD, which I usually am quite conscious of doing when I'm with a neurotypical. Yes. So, it, you know, these episodes might go who knows where.
They could go down any rabbit hole, for sure.
So you're a professional organizer. We worked together for, I don't know, a year or more.
About a year,
but
yeah.
Can you introduce yourself to the community? They might have seen you in the Facebook group. They may have had you out to their home. They may have seen you in the Head, Heart and Home community. They may have seen you, like, you're everywhere. So tell us a bit about you.
I'm like COVID. You can't get rid of me. I keep coming back.
That's gold.
You're welcome. That's a great introduction, isn't it? So I'm a professional organizer, mainly thanks to you as well. Like, I kind of found your podcast and then kind of got into your course and then was like, hey, I can do this. I'm going to be a professional organizer. I've been doing it now for 3.5 years, it blows my mind. People ask me, I'm like, yeah, no, 3.5 years. I'm like, holy crap. I have 4 beautiful children. Ranging from 12 years old to 8 months old. So I'm going to be doing school lunches, school drop-offs and everything for a very, very long time. And I'm a wife to my beautiful husband, Harley. I have children and work. I'm not sure what else there is really, especially when you're a mum. You know, like, well, when you go for a job interview and they're like, what are your interests? And you're like, I don't have any. I'm a mum.
I feed people.
So I worked at the Art of Decluttering for a year, which was fantastic. I loved it because I got so much experience in working with colleagues that were professional organisers, because where I am the only professional organiser within like a 300-400k radius of any direction, especially out west. I don't think there's any out west, but east towards Mackay and Proserpine, I think there may be a couple. But, yeah, basically I'm the only one out here. So to be able to work with ladies that do this all the time, day in, day out, or week in, week out, and get that feedback and bounce stuff off them and say, hey, you know, what did you do here and what could we do there, and that sort of stuff was so, so good. And, yes, beyond that journey. And then I took maternity leave off to have Bub. And then, yeah, just with life happening, it just worked out better to go back working for myself, which was great. And I'm so thankful for that experience, which is awesome. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you're still part of the family.
Oh, yeah. You can't get rid of me, as I said.
Like, we're not getting rid of you. Like, no, it's the best.
In the best way.
Now, so Jess has referred to herself both as COVID and the plague, which is, really, really amazing. listeners, Jess is in rural Australia, so the connection is pretty good, But if it drops out a little bit, just stick with us, that what you get will be phenomenal. Yeah. Jess, I want to know, this is the question I've got for each person at the start of this series of our ADHD deep dive, sure. Is do you have ADHD? Do you work with ADHDers? Do you live with ADHDers, or all of the above?
All of the above. I have ADHD. I got diagnosed very start of 2021 after a family member of mine was like, hey, I got diagnosed with this 6 months ago. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, what is it? And she told me her symptoms. And I was like, every single one she said, I was like, oh, me too. Me too. Me too. So went down the path of diagnosis, got diagnosed, and I still remember the phone call, like the video call that I had with my doctor, and he's like, and I took the test and everything, ticked 9 out of 10 boxes, even with childhood. And I was like, oh, that explains a lot. and I remember him saying, yes, no, you do. And he was so casual about it. And I'm thinking, you're telling me life altering information here, dude. Like, what the heck? And he's like, okay, see you next time. Hung up. And I just cried and I cried and cried and cried. And I was so, it was a mix of like, happy but like sad and excitement and all the feelings, and because we feel so intensely too as ADHDers, and yeah, it took me a while to grasp that, but then also it was like this big weight just lifted and was like, oh my gosh, I'm not lazy, crazy and weird, I just was born differently, my brain works differently. So it was amazing. And then it's like when you buy a new car, like say you buy a new red Corolla or whatever, then you notice every single red Corolla around you. So, and whereas you didn't before. And so when I got diagnosed, I was like, after a while, I was like, oh, that person might be neurodivergent too. And this person and this person, and they're talking to their symptoms. And a lot of my village, a lot of around me are neurodivergent people, which is funny because I think we attract each other. Because we get each other and we can
get it.
Yeah, we can talk to each other and interrupt each other and no one cares and it's fine. And we can go down tangents and we're not rude or strange to the thing when we talk and we get on. So, anyway, we know we're going to be late and it's fine and all that sort of stuff. But, yeah, and then I've noticed in my children, my oldest he's pretty good. I'm pretty sure he has it, but mildly, or either that or he's got very good at masking, I'm not sure, one or the other, and we've had an assessment of him, but it come up that he was okay, like we didn't need any interventions with that. My second, I'm in the process at the moment of diagnosis, I'm fairly sure he'll need a fair bit of help. Great kid, loves school, loves everything, kindest kid in the world, but is struggling with like literacy and stuff like that, so which I did at that age, but somehow managed to get through, struggled, but it was fine. And then, so I'm hoping I can be that help for him and get that through as well. Make school a lot easier for him, or more enjoyable, I think is the word. And then my daughter, my third one, who's my crazy, I'm still sitting on the fence, but I'm pretty sure she is. She zones out a lot with like, especially TV and stuff, but she is like, a ball a minute and awesome, love school, can remember stuff, which is fantastic. Memory's not great in our family. And yeah, my 8-month-old is yet to be seen. But my husband's neurotypical and is awesome. I don't know how he lives in a house full of this, but he does. So many of my clients, especially since I've started back after maternity leave, because a lot of my social media content is about my ADHD. I've just decided to embrace it. I'm not hiding it from anyone. So, yeah, a lot of my content is about, like, organising an ADHD and what that looks like, and a lot of, like, tongue-in-cheek with stuff and you know, like, things that we do, but, you know, that isn't great, like, might not be the right way to do it, but we do it anyway. And that's okay, like if we do things differently or we don't do things, or, you know, we do things in surges instead of consistency, because the most consistent thing in my life is that I'm inconsistent. So the irony.
Yeah.
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 So I've actually had a lot of clients lately that are neurodivergent And I've had one or two that I've actually helped put on that diagnosis track, because as we were going through things, they're like, I don't know why I do this and why I can't do this. And I say, hey, I'm this. Do you think maybe there might be like traits like this is ADHD or like these kind of things line up? Would there be something interested in? And then they go, oh, maybe. And then they go and think on it. And then they ring me later and say, hey, I've got a doctor's appointment. I got a referral. And, or, you know, like I went to the specialist and, yes, I have autism and ADHD, or I just have ADHD, or, you know. So, and then we really bond over that. And I think because I know what that's like, and especially from an organizing perspective, we lay out things so differently. Like I lay out, not differently, but I lay out things I know will work. Like a lot of stuff doesn't get put in cupboards. It's out visual, ready to see, but it's only the stuff they use every day. Cause I know if there's other stuff they need, they'll actually go looking for it. But yeah, that out of sight, out of mind is a huge one for my ADHD clients and for myself. So I love it. I love that this is the profession I've gone into and then found out later it's because of this, like, you know, that I have this and it's actually aiding me in my profession to be actually
100%
help people like that so much more, because a lot of the time it is neurodivergent people that actually really need that help. And not that neurotypical people don't, it's just they need a lot of help and we're very terrible for asking for help. So it's it's a really, really wonderful thing that I get to do. And I'm so glad I'm a part of that NeuroSpicy club. So
yeah, and I think just like being understood and known is such an important part of ADHD. Like I think once, you know, I think you and I hit it off before we even knew that we were neurodiverse. But then once we were both diagnosed, we were like, oh, we're sisters forever. Like this is, we get each other, we understand. Like the other day you said to me, can you send me some photos of your wardrobe? Like I'm wanting to redo my own wardrobe and I want to see how you do it. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. I'll do it in a minute. And the following morning you sent me a message that just said wardrobe.
You were like, I'll do it after basketball. And I was like, midnight. I was like, she's forgotten. I'll just send this. That's fine.
And the best bit was when you sent the message, I was like, why would she send me a message that just says wardrobe? Like, is she listening to the podcast episode about wardrobes? Is she reminding me that I need to do something to my wardrobe? And it literally took me like 20 seconds to go, oh, that's right.
Because the message above it was the question.
That's so good. I think one of the benefits of this episode is I wanted us to take the angle of like what we do. We're experts in helping people to organize and declutter their homes, and our lens that we see that through is ADHD. And so there's going to be hacks that we do for ourselves, but also like things that don't work for us but might work for other people. So I'm excited to kind of talk about that from a professional organizing perspective. But then there's also the side that I want to delve into with you, which is around like being a mum and being the person that has to get four kids out of the door in a morning. And, you know, like how you went through pregnancy and the newborn stage. So I feel like there's kind of two sides to it. Let's start with the professional organizing side. So before you had ADHD, or not before you had it, before you were diagnosed, what were some of the things that you did that were different that you now go, oh, that was me creating a workaround to kind of hack my brain? Like how do you do some of your ADHD hacks?
So I know this is a hack or whatever, but we kind of, before you know what it is, your body and your brain are already trying to help you. And what most people will see is like a, oh, how could you do that? It's actually our way of helping ourselves, we just don't realize it. And that one is the urgency. So for me as a kid, and especially in high school, like I went to boarding school and it was like not on your own, but like I didn't you know, I couldn't bring it home like, hey mum, what about this, you know, like it was either go check with your teachers or your supervisor or whatever, but was doing assignments last minute. And I know that's not the one way to do it, how they want you to do it. And I look back down, I used to beat myself up about this all the time. And it was like literally the night before or the two nights before, and I'd be up till midnight and the supervisor would be coming around, turn your light off, go to bed. But I was like, why does my brain work so clearly the night before it's due.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I just smash out these 700,000 words yesterday or like a last week? And it's that urgency and that dopamine and that sort of everything's coming through because of the urgency. So that was my brain's way of saying, hey, we might have not got that done this earlier, but let's smash this out now. We'll still be able to get it in. You'll still be okay. You won't get an amazing mark possibly, but it'll be all right. Like this is my way, my brain's way of looking after me. So it did. And that was one of my workarounds in a way of doing things last minute. Like I would pack for a trip, even as an adult, last minute, like morning of, we'd be leaving in an hour. I'd throw everything in. I still do it. But I learnt now that I can do it earlier and I work around it as in giving myself false deadlines, which is fantastic. Even though my brain knows it's false deadlines, so then it's like,
yeah. How weird is it that our brains are okay with us creating false sense of urgency? Yeah. Like it is so weird that can work.
Yeah. Or I tell my husband like, hey, can you like make me go do something like that we need to do to go away or do something? And I remember one morning we were getting ready and I was like, I didn't have a clock around me, didn't have a watch around me or anything. And I was like, hey, Holly, how long do we've got to go? Like, what's the time? And we had to be out of the house, say at 8:15. And he's like, Jess, it's 8:10. Hurry up. And I'm like, right. Threw my makeup on or whatever I had to do. And I was like out the door and in the car, sitting down. And as I sit down, clicking my seatbelt up and everyone else is in the car, he'd got them all in. And I look at the time and it was like 7:55. I was like,
that's the best.
Did you just trick me? And he goes, yeah, but it worked. We were early. And I was like, oh my God. So, but yeah, so back to the question after we go down that rabbit hole. Workarounds before I realized I had ADHD was, I'm just trying to think, especially as a mum and everything.
Even if they're post-diagnosis, let us know, because I think it was like a lot of the hacks that you share online are brilliant and, you know, we're constantly talking about hacks together.
So I would unknowingly leave stuff out, and I realise now it was because if I put it away I'd forget about it, which looks like clutter, but for me it wasn't, which a lot of our clients do that. They're like, oh, my gosh, the table's so full. And I'm like, oh, this is probably why. And any flat surfaces and magnets for that, and delayed decisions because it's like the urgency is gone because you're like, I've used that thing now, I don't need to put it away, it's done. But for me, like a hack in my bathroom is I've bought a little clear organizer. I literally found it at our St. Vinny's for like $5, but it's clear. It's got a little tray and I have everything that I need in the mornings on that. So that is my deodorant, my like 4 things of makeup, so like my primer, my foundation and my mascara and eyeliner maybe if I'm feeling fancy, my toothbrush, toothpaste, perfume, and like a set of tweezers. So I have all those things in this tiny little organizer down the side of my sink right there where I can see it, and is that for me is my process every morning. I go through and I basically do like a checklist but with my stuff. So I'm like, okay, deodorants first, perfume second, then it's like teeth, and then I'll do my makeup or makeup, then my teeth, whatever. Like, and it's basically just checking those things off, because if I don't, I will quite often be in my car and go, oh, crap, I forgot to brush my teeth, or I forgot to put deodorant on. I'm sorry, public, but I have to go, like, deal with me stinking. Like, so, and another hack is I always have a bottle of Chewy in my car for those mornings. And it's, you know, those sorts of things where you've got to, it's okay to have things out. Like if, as long as they're contained, they're not getting in anyone else's way. I have an ensuite, which is fantastic. I know that there's families out there where you do have to share a bathroom with your children. So that sort of thing might not be as easy because you'll have kids getting into your stuff, but even just, you know, like the little, what are they called? Like the little sticky pads, but they're not sticky pads, like the suction pad ones. You can get little organizers that will just stick to your mirror, so you can have it up out of the way of little ones, because I feel like once they're about past the age of maybe 7 or 8, they'll understand not touch mum stuff. But for your little ones, like put it up a bit where you can still see it but they can't reach it. That's so like
idea.
Yeah, so that would be a way of you can have your stuff out but not in the way. And like very, I have learned to have very minimal stuff actually helps me a lot. So I don't buy in bulk because otherwise there's stuff everywhere and I can't store it. So I don't do that. And it's not overwhelming then. I've learned, massive hack for me is that if you have an iPhone, there's a free app that actually comes with your phone. It's already in there. It's called Reminders. I'm not sure what the Galaxy or Samsung or other phones are, but basically it is, you can make lists in it and you can set reminders in those lists and you can set it to go off an alarm, which we need. We can't remember stuff, or I can't remember stuff if it's in a planner or a diary, because I won't remember to open the diary. And if it's on my phone but doesn't have an alarm on it, I won't remember to look at it. So I set things for my alarm to go off maybe half an hour before, however long I need to remember before, and then in the reminder say it's at 11 o'clock or it's at whatever.
That's great.
Yeah, and then I have lists in that are like school, kids' school, after-school activities, kids' school reminders, presents to buy, events we've been invited to, my shopping list, so you can add to it, you know, as you go. Without a reminder, so that when you're at the shops you go, oh yeah, we do actually need sugar or whatever. And with that app too on the iPhone, you can actually share it with people. So I have my husband on the shopping list one, so if he's down at the grocery shop or I'm down at the grocery shop, one of us remember that we need something, we can chuck it on there and it automatically dings through to their phone.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, and we set, like, you know, there's kids after school reminders so that if I'm working and Harley has the children or vice versa, the reminder will still go off like, oh, that kid has footy training or that kid has dancing. And it's, even though it's weekly things that happen every week, like my boys have footy training twice a week, every week that footy season is on, but I always make sure I still have that reminder set, because there is a very good chance I could forget and get caught up with something else.
So, and the issue is not that we completely forget it often. No. So what I'll do is, like, so for today, I'm like, I know that I'm recording with Jess at a particular time, but 10 minutes before something happens that distracts me, and then within that 10 minutes I've completely forgotten it. Then I'm like, oh, no, I'm now running late for that thing that 10 minutes ago I was early for.
Yes.
Now. Yep. So, like, we have reminders for take the kids to tutoring. Yes, it happens every week.
Yeah.
Or every single meeting I ever put in my calendar, I set two reminders for.
Yeah.
One at an hour and one at 10 minutes, because I know that by the time the 10 minutes comes, I've forgotten that I got a reminder an hour ago.
I don't click my reminder off, like, as completed until that meeting is done or until that thing is done.
Yeah.
Because it will show up on the front of my phone. Like, you can make it a priority, like high priority, or flag it or whatever. So it comes up on my phone and I'm always, you know, there's messages where you check your phone or whatever. I'm like, oh, right, that thing's still happening. Or
that's still
the kids are at footy training, don't forget to pick them up. Like, those sorts of things. I actually have an alarm in my phone for 5:30 because that's when I have to go pick up one child and drop off another. And same thing, because it's right at, it's because it's at dinner time too.
Jess, I just realized that I do the same thing in my bathroom, but the trick that I have that makes me feel like I don't have things all over my counter is I have them, like, in containers like you were talking about. But for some things, like my moisturizer, which is in a pump, I actually went to Kmart and bought, they're almost like saucers, but they're oblong shaped and they've just got, like, pretty Australiana animals on them. And I've got two of those in the bathroom, and by having, like, my deodorant and my moisturizer and, like, a toner sitting on it, even though they're out, it feels contained because it's on that little tray. And I fell in love with that idea. And now I have one on my desk that's got, you know, any medication that I have to take that's not morning or night sits at my desk. And it sits on one of those little trays. So even though my desk is not hugely minimalist, because I have to have things out so that I remember, by, like, grouping them on a little tray, it makes me feel like, well, it's organized because it's intentional, but I'm not going to forget.
It's kind of like that habit stacking as well. Like, like, that's where I have, if I have a shower, then I immediately come out where I dry myself. It's like, okay, cool. Now I have to brush my teeth. And it's habit stacking that. And really good habit stacking for me is I have my ADHD meds where my tea and coffee and sugar are. So, like, brilliant. Everyone else probably has them in a medicine cabinet. No, mine's next to my kettle because I know for a fact I will always make a coffee as soon as I wake up, and my medication's there. So while I'm making my coffee ready for the kettle to boil, I'll grab my medication out and then, like, have my brain candy chased with my coffee chaser. So, like, we're good.
I do a similar thing. Mine is in my bedside drawer. So my rule is I wake up, I do whatever, you know, I might check my phone, I might listen to something, I might reply to a message. But the minute my feet hit the ground before I get up, I have to take them.
Yeah.
So that is the habit that I have to do. The other day, however, I was like busting for the toilet. So I went into the toilet and then I was like, oh, I might as well have my shower now. And so then I had a shower and then I was like, oh, I'll just wash my hair. And like halfway through the day, I was like, I don't think I took any of my meds this morning.
Oh, man, I have the go slows when I forget mine. Yeah.
Because I had thought to myself, oh, I was like, no, I'll remember. I remember every day. Why would I forget today? The only reason I remember is because I habit stack. That's literally the only reason I remember to take anything.
Yeah. I saw a video not long ago, like literally a couple of days ago, where it was neurodivergent people, especially ADHD, nearly cannot make a habit. Like it's actually not impossible, but it is very, very hard for us to make habits. And there is habits, like we do ingrain things in us, but I even catch myself, I'm like, oh no, I've totally got habits. I'm watching this video, like this guy's wrong. But then I have really watched myself over the last few days and I go, oh no, I see the kettle. That's my cue. Like I have cues to do things. Mm. It's not that I go, oh, I have coffee now and just habitually go do it. It's I see the kettle and go, oh, it's coffee time. Or I see my medication and go, oh, it's medication time. Or I see, oh, the lunch boxes are on the bench. That's right, make the lunch boxes for school. It's
interesting.
It's the cues. I mean, other people might be different, but it just really resonated with me where I was like, yeah, no, like the consistency of it isn't there because we do it habitually in our body and muscle memory and everything do that. It is because we have these cues that need to remind us or to say, hey, this is it. And there are some things, like actually I really can't think of much at all other than going to sleep. That's a habit, but even that's hard.
Yeah, well, even then, like I have to be reminded to come to bed at night. Like Cal, part of our nighttime routine is he has to come into my office and say to me, it's 10:30, I'm going to bed, because otherwise I've lost track of time and it feels like I can't tell the difference in my body between 10:30, 11 o'clock at night and 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm just as wired, or just as excited, just as exhausted. Like it's all the same. And so I actually need like that trigger.
Yeah.
Listeners, go back and have a listen to an episode that was probably about a month ago called Three Times a Day. And it talks about how it's really challenging to do anything over and over again. So like how do you habit stack? How do you, you know, get rid of having to do that thing? Because like I often say, I don't even eat three times a day. Like, and just as you're talking, and this is what I've said to other guests when we've interviewed, is as we're talking, I kind of go, the light bulbs go on.
Yeah.
And so today, like it's nearly 1 o'clock and I haven't had breakfast yet. Yeah, but if I had had breakfast and the plate was sitting at my table, I would be thinking, oh, next time I stand up, I should take the plate back to the kitchen. And by going into the kitchen, I would then probably look for something to eat. Not because I was necessarily hungry, because that's just like the trigger. You're in the kitchen, get something to eat. And then that would trigger the eating for the day.
Mm-hmm.
But because at the moment, all that's on my desk is my water bottle, that's all I've had for the last, and I've been working for like nearly 5 hours.
Yeah.
And all I've had is a bottle of water because there's been no trigger to remind me to eat.
Yeah, that's it. And I love the fact that they say like ADHD people would be fantastic in a zombie apocalypse because if we didn't eat for a whole day and we only had one meal a day, we'd be fine. We'd notice everything and like we'd be hyper-vigilant constantly.
Constantly.
Yeah, so, you know, like buckle up to a ADHD friend, people, because you may need us. So
it's all good. I love that. Let's go to a quick break and then Jess, let's talk about newborn, pregnancy, babies, all of that stuff. We'll be right back.
Cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Jess, when you were pregnant last year, I remember we talked a bit about you coming off medication.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what it was like having been on meds, coming off meds, having a newborn and not being medicated. Like, yeah, give me a bit of an insight and share with our listeners what that was like. Because a lot of our clients go through that. We see a lot of clients who are seeing us and calling us in a life-shifting moment. So it might be pregnancy, it might be a baby. And that's a really, like, transition times are particularly difficult if you're having to change your medication or your routines and things like that.
Yeah. So I got diagnosed in the February of 2021, and we basically decided that we were going to try for a fourth about April, whatever, but then I had to wait until July. And then I said, so I went to the doctors and said, hey, this is what's happening, and talked to them. Basically I went off my medication in July, I think it was. And that first week was rough because it's like if you're doing life and ADHD feels like you're doing life, everyone else is doing life, but they have the cheat sheet to life and you don't. And you're expected to still do the same amount of work and to the same level. So getting on my medication, it was like, hey, here's half a cheat sheet, like it'll help, won't fix it, but it's gonna help. And then when I went off them to try and fall pregnant, it's like someone was like, nope, I'm taking that half a cheat sheet away, just do life, you've known a few answers, here you go. So I went into that first week or two was really rough because your brain is just adjusting to not having that medication there. And then after that I felt like, okay, it's not too bad. And then, yeah, eventually fell pregnant, and then it's all the hormones with that. I feel like I love my husband so much that he stuck with that because it was quite rough. So the first, we actually fell pregnant in the, I think early August. But then I ended up losing that bub in October. It was about 6 or 7 weeks. So that kind of screwed with my head a little bit, but then fell pregnant again in the end of November, and everything was okay. And then we had to do some testing and it was a bit like hold my breath, I felt like, for the rest of that pregnancy. But at the same time, I felt like because I knew how good it was going to be after, and like that I was allowed to go back on my meds after I have bub or after I want to breastfeed and stuff like that. And I am like, right, I know this. I've had a baby. It's nothing new. It's okay. As long as bub's okay, everything's all right. And mentally, and I think I still had that routine of the bigger kids. So that kind of helped me through, and my work helped me through, like working. I worked all when I was with you guys, I was pregnant the whole time. And yeah, like physically I was probably a bit more exhausted, but I really loved my work. And I think that really gives you that drive. And there's some days where you're tired, or some days where you're going to have a shit day and that's not going to go well. But yeah, I felt like I kind of had a handle on it for being not medicated. And then I had bub in August, And yeah, like felt great. We had to stay in hospital for a week just because he was a bit jaundiced and he was a tiny, tiny baby. But then, yeah, we got out and I was like, no, I think I've got this. But then I also really gave myself grace with this one, whereas the other ones I felt like I had to prove that I could do it. Whereas this one, I was like, no, like ask for help. And I did. I asked parents, I asked friends, like if someone said, hey, you know, like the thing that everyone does when you have a baby, if you need anything, let me know. I was like, I was letting them know. There was Great. No, like, I'm not going to do this all on my own because I can't. So I did ask a friend to, you know, get milk every now and then for me, or if she's going downtown, or pick up a child. Like when I just got the newborn down for the sleep, and I was like, it took me 2 hours to get this kid to sleep. I'm not going to chuck him in to go pick the big kids up. So I would ask a friend or my sister, like, hey, can you do the school pickup for me? I'm like, yeah, sure, no worries. Or, you know, like that sort of stuff. Or my kids would ride or whatever. And it was really, really using the village around me. I'm very lucky to have a great village. But or even in simple things, if you don't have that big village around you, is online order your groceries while you're breastfeeding or like while you're sitting on the couch stuck. Online, you know, put an order through to your chemist. You can ring them, say, hey, I need this and this and this put together. Can you do that for me? Yeah, no worries. And then if someone does offer to grab something for you, say, sweet, can you pick that up? It's all ready to go. If someone comes over while they're there, say, hey, can you just watch Bub? I really need to have a shower. It's those things where you take full advantage of it because you've got your pregnancy card. I mean, play that for the whole 9 months. But you've got this newborn card and people will give you grace in it. They won't judge you. And if they do, they shouldn't be in your village. Don't have room for people that are going to judge you on asking for help, especially as a newborn mum. And this, like, biggest thing for me was I was actually breastfeeding this time. I really struggled with my first three, just kind of didn't even do it at all eventually. This one I breastfed for 3 months and it worked. The first 6 weeks were terrible, but it, like, we worked it out. And but got to 3 months. And then I was able to organise with my ADHD doctor and I thought maybe I could take meds and breastfeed. Worked out I couldn't. But that 3 months for me is always my make or break. That is when my mental health will take a nosedive. I don't know whether it's a hormonal thing or whether it's just the sleep deprivation, the everything piling up. It kind of just gets to that. And I've noticed that with all my kids. So I really was like, okay, do I want to breastfeed and continue this without medication and possibly go further down? I've been down that path before. Or say, hey, good job for doing 3 months. He's an awesome little kid. You know, like, he's going to be fine. And I know formula works because my other three were on it. So that wasn't – it was a bit sad. Like, I didn't think I'd be sad, but I was a little bit sad about leaving it. But then I was like, okay, look after yourself, because if I don't look after myself, then – I'm not going to be able to look after anyone. So I went back on my medication at like 3 or 4 months old, when he was 3 or 4 months old, weaned him off the breastfeeding first and then went on. And, yeah, kind of got that half cheat sheet back again, which helped tremendously. And he was fine. Like, we worked out his right formula for him and he was great. And then it really opened up to the rest of our family being quite involved, like the kids and Harley being able to feed him again and and it just was a really good way of coming out of that without going too far into that hole, which I usually get into about 3 months. And really working with my ADHD doctor as to, is this working? Is this the right one? And it was, because we changed the medication. It's a longer acting one. So I didn't have to remember to take a lunchtime one, which really helped. And it was, really great. So, yeah, and then I kind of just got at that stage, just got thrown back into life as well, all the kids stuff and sport and all the things. But I do remember with this time, I did, with that grace as well, with asking for help, it was grace of staying home. And if I didn't have to go to something, I didn't. Like, I just stayed home, just rested and just gave my body time to rest. And I think that was my biggest benefit is giving myself time to rest. I don't have to do all the things. My children are resilient. They will live. Everyone else is going to be fine. The world's not going to crumble if I don't go to that school assembly. It's fine.
It sounds like just having the ADHD diagnosis helped you have more grace for yourself than you have in the past.
So much. Yeah, so much. And yeah, it really, really helped, because before you have those negative thoughts of like, oh, I'm lazy. Oh my God, I can't believe I forgot that. I'm useless. Like it's that really negative self-talk that why can't I do things like other people, like do things like that person? Why do I forget? Like, gosh, I'm lazy and I like do things. But then you're like, no, I'm pretty good at some things too. Like I can really just get through and clean a whole room in 10 minutes flat. Like, you know, like, or I can stay up late making a buckwheat costume the night before, you know, like it's such a juxtaposition that you don't know what's wrong with you, but at the same time, you're really great at things. And I think once knowing what that is, and most of my personality traits are like just ADHD symptoms, but it's,
I know,
right? Right? And finding that community, like I found a couple of Facebook communities and which were really great. And then like connecting with other people and you guys and it's really fun in that community and finding your people. And I think once you find your people, it's going to be really good. And I follow a lady on Instagram. Her name's Dana. I can't remember her last name, but she's very big on like bodies are bodies. That's where I kind of my journey of after having Bub was my body is my body. Like if I didn't have it, I wouldn't be here without, like I wouldn't be here. And regardless of shape, size, jiggle, so like whatever it is, it's amazing. And I'm not going for that. I want to bounce back to how I was. I just want to do life. And if coincidentally I lose weight or if I feel like running that day or jogging or eating something healthier, then I'll do that. But I'm not putting those goals and expectations on myself, at least for the first year anyway, just to enjoy life. Like, and if I do, then sweet. If I don't, whatever. Like,
we've got to be honest, if an ADHDer sets themselves up, I must do this, that's the exact opposite thing of what we're going to do.
We're just rebelling. We're just like, no way.
That's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and I've really enjoyed it. So it's really good.
Can I – one of the things that you and I have sent many memes to each other about is ADHD paralysis.
Oh,
and it's the most frustrating thing. Yeah. I was talking to my psych about it last week because I was like, it drives me crazy. I know I need to do that thing. I know how to do that thing. I can see that thing. I want to do the thing. It's good for me to do the thing. I get enjoyment from doing the thing. And the last thing I can do is the thing.
Yes, I physically cannot get up and do it. Yeah.
Both you and I struggle with it at different times and, you know, we can have a laugh and just empathize. But I'd love to hear from a professional organizing perspective, because clients experience this a lot when they look at a room and they think, okay, I do know that this room is making me stressed. There's clutter, it's untidy, things don't have homes. I'm feeling like that urgency to get something done. Mm. But then they stand at the door and are completely paralyzed. Like can't decide what even the first thing is.
Yeah, I find that quite often. Happens to me quite often, especially days that I forget to take my medication. I'm like, oh, why do I feel so down? That's right. But it's, yeah, so I say to people, it's just like if you can't decide, it's either the first thing you touch or first thing you put your eyes on. But even if that is too much, which I understand is sometimes, like you cannot even make that decision, walk away. Like even just walk away for a second, walk away to another room, make yourself a cuppa or something, and then walk back. Or really like take advantage of how our brains work too. You don't have to do things how you've been told by your parents forever. Like chase the dopamine. Like that's what I do. Like gamify the crap out of stuff if you have to. Like set a timer or like only pick up things that are purple or, you know, like gamify as much as you can, especially on the days where you know you want to do the thing but you can't. Really gamify it. Really make things fun. Really chase that dopamine. Another really great thing that I do is I have headphones, so not ear pods. I have like the ones that cover right over my ears. And I either listen to a podcast or I found this thing called 8D audio. So it's like the number 8, the letter D for dog, and then audio, and it's music. So I go on Spotify, type in 8D audio, comes up with playlists, and I just throw it on. And it is just the most like brain scratching music in the best way. Like, you know, like when you've got a brain.
No, it's the worst way, Jess.
No, like in like, you know, like when you've got an itch on your brain, for me anyway, and you're like,
no, I just want to punch. No, you don't like it? No, oh. I put it on and I'm like, I want to rip my ears off my head.
Oh, I love it. So it's you find your own thing, but if you can find something to listen to, I love it. It's like I go mow the lawn to it. It's the best, like, or do laundry or whatever. But
I have tried so many times because so many ADHDers love it.
And it's not yours.
It makes me get vertigo. Like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
And violent,
but,
yeah.
But if you're a podcast listener, listen to that. If you listen to classical music, listen to that. Whatever. Like,
yeah.
If it's.
Yeah. Try out 8D audio.
Yeah. If you want to punch a hole in the wall while you're listening to it, get rid of it. But it's. I put that on. And it really just. Because we get distracted not by visual, as well as visually, but also audibly. So, like, what we can hear. So, you know, like if something. It's even as something as easy as like a branch hitting a wall or something like that. It's like that squirrel moment, but with listening, and we go, oh, and it breaks our attention to what we were doing, and we look at something. So with those headphones on, it just pulls away all those little noises, the background noise. We're just listening to what we're listening to. So it kind of halves our distractions down to just our visual ones. But usually if we're focusing on a task, we've got our blinkers on and we're like, that's what we're doing.
I often just don't even have, like, I'll put headphones in and just not have anything playing.
Noise cancelling headphones are great as well.
And sometimes it's just that I need the feeling of them in my ear. Correct. I need the sensory. Yesterday, though, I had an embarrassing moment where I had put my earbuds in. I hadn't been listening to anything because I just needed them in. But then I spent 10 minutes looking for them.
And
I was like, when was the last time that I made a phone call? I can't even remember. Where would I have been? I haven't even been listening to music this morning.
You crack me up. Yeah. I know. And it is like that, though. Like, we forget that we've even got stuff on. Like, and it's like that. If for people who get that paralysis, sometimes we get paralysis because it is our body telling us to rest. So maybe go lay down for 10 minutes, scroll your phone if you want to. Do not feel guilty about that. Like, set a timer on your phone or whatever. Like, do that for as long as you need to. I mean, like, sometimes if it's 6 hours, go for it. But if it's like, if you really need to get something done, set that false boundary or say, hey, this needs to be done at this time. And you know you've only got 10 minutes left of that. Right. Well, I can scroll my phone for 10 minutes. Get that, and that's another dopamine chase too, is watching videos or resting or TV or whatever it is. So get that little hit and then go, right, I'm going to gamify the shit out of this room. Like, I'm going to only pick up things that start with the letter S, or, you know, do things like that, or I'm going to clear this tiny little section and make it break everything down very, very small. Because when you've got a professional organizer in, they'll do it quite big. They'll do a big go. But when you're by yourself, break it down so damn small, even if it's down to one thing.
Like, yeah, and it's just like, I'm going to do this. One of the things I've been learning that I just thought of that might be helpful for our community is I've been kind of learning to listen to my body more. And I don't know if it's just me or if it's an ADHD thing, but I often find that it's really hard to connect with my body. I don't know what my body's telling me. I can't read my own body. I will, get really low blood sugar or really low blood pressure or like, but I don't notice it until it's like, oh my gosh, you're actually about to pass out.
Yeah. There is actually a medical term for it. I learned about that not long ago. I can't remember what it is, but
there you go. And is it ADHD related?
Yeah. A lot of neurodivergent people have it. So your body could be screaming for food, but you don't realize. It's not until you're like, oh, I feel woozy. Or, you know, like, what's going on? And mine's water. I forget to drink water. I don't listen to my body with water. So I get to the end of the day and I will chug like 3 massive glasses of water. Because I'm like, why am I so thirsty? Realize I haven't drunk an ounce of water all day. There is actually a word for that. Yeah, you don't do it. Or another thing is that we won't listen to our body, because if we do go listen to our body, we will stop what we are doing and we'll forget to go back to do it. So we prioritize our task over looking for ourselves.
So, yes, and that reminds me why I was telling you actually about the body, is because what I've noticed is that when I'm listening and I'm like, I'm so tired, I'm just paralyzed, I'm not making decisions, I'm not being productive.
Yeah.
I'm like, what does my body need? I actually just need to go lie on my bed. And it's what I find is I'm getting better at, and I'll put an alarm on for 10 minutes. It's like, and then when I feel like I'm kind of coming out of that, because I feel like we have like waves. And so as I'm coming into a wave of like energy, I immediately, right then and there, I need to get up and go and do the thing. And it's been really awesome kind of learning how my body works. Like Cal finds it quite confusing at times. Last night it must have been about 9 o'clock. He said, "You look really tired. Why don't you have an early night?" And I said, "Oh, I'm not quite on the wave of tiredness yet." I said, like, I know what you mean. I know I look tired. I know I feel tired, but I'm not going to be able to sleep.
Yeah.
So I just need to kind of listen to my body. And then I went and did some work, but then I felt like I was heading into that, like, oh, it's coming, I'm getting really tired. And then I turned off my computer and was in bed in 3 minutes and went to sleep.
Yeah.
Because I'm learning that my body rhythms are not, and maybe nobody's is, wake up in the morning, get ready for work 8 hours, go home, have dinner, watch a show. I don't know what people do after dinner, because I generally work or hang out with my family, whatever. And then but I need to listen to my body. And sometimes that means going to bed at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And sometimes that's 2 a.m.
Yeah. And that's,
and that's okay. And
I feel like if we listen to ourselves, especially with ADHD, it's and work with ourselves, like a lot of routines as such as out there really is just neurotypical routines. If we give ourselves the grace that we don't have to have these set routines, these tasks can't have to be done, but do it how it works for you, then I think that works a lot too. Another thing to get out of that ADHD paralysis, or if you can't do something quite often, is change your sensory. So for me, it's having a shower. I go and have a shower, I change that body feel, and then I come out and I feel really good because it's changed my surroundings, change how I feel physically as well, or change your clothes or put your shoes on. A really good one is put your shoes on. If you really take note, especially if you're an ADHD person, if you come home from doing stuff and you kick your shoes off at the front door, you're gone.
Like, you're done for the day.
And don't sit down. Leave your shoes on, or have inside shoes, whatever it is, but chuck some shoes on and don't sit down until your task is done. If you're checking your phone, check your phone, but like, don't sit down, and leave those shoes on. And yesterday afternoon, I went to work, worked like 4 or 5 hours, come home. I was dog tired. Like, I could have easily slept for 3 hours, but I knew I still had to have stuff done. So I did. I just left all my full work kit on, left my work shoes on, just pushed through it and got all my stuff done. And then once I went and had a shower, then I was like, okay, rest. Like, I can lay down on the couch now and chill out. And I did.
And I think that's fine. a really, really helpful thing for people who are wanting to go, like, I want that professional organizer experience in my home, but for whatever reason, that's not something I can invest in at the moment. Is like, okay, well, how do you kind of hack it? Okay, well, get dressed as if someone's coming over, put your shoes and socks on.
Yeah.
Like, set yourself a lunch break. Yeah. You might have a friend call for accountability.
Yeah.
Like, the skills that if you have ADHD and you're looking to engage a professional organizer, Jess and I are here waving the flag saying, get someone out who understands ADHD.
Yeah.
Get someone out, whether they have it or not, is actually kind of irrelevant, because people who don't have ADHD can just as well use the tools and the tips and all of that type of thing.
Yeah.
Those of us with ADHD, like, we just bring all of that life experience as well. But it's having your team around you. And
especially that newborn phase. Like, if you have a newborn and you really need something done, like a room decluttered or whatever, it's so worth it in the way that you can get a whole thing done in 4 hours. It takes that mental load off you, then you don't have to think about it then for months or whenever it was that you would normally be. And quite often in our client sessions, I'll actually find money, or we find vouchers, or we find much stuff that the client doesn't have to buy that stuff for months. So it actually, they get their money back in a lot of the cases.
So often. So often.
Yeah.
Jess, we could talk all day about being professional organizers and ADHD, and like at times we do. Even last night, what time did we finish messaging
when we were 11:30, I think it was, it's fine.
Well, it was 11:30 for you, 12:30 for me.
Yes.
Because when you find, and I think Jess, you've used the word a few times, your village, that's really important. And listeners, if you don't have a village that understands you, whether it's an autism village, an ADHD village, a mum of triplets village, a village for single parents, a village for new immigrants, like whatever it is, your village is really important. We at the Outer Decluttering would love to be that village. Like our Facebook community group, I posted on there yesterday, like you guys just embrace the value of community. And so come and join us. If you live in the Claremont region in Queensland, get Jess out to work with you. If you live in Melbourne or Gippsland or the Yarra Ranges or Perth, have the Art of Decluttering team out to help you. Like, we are so passionate about helping you live your best life and have freedom from clutter, but also freedom from overwhelm, freedom from guilt, freedom from shame. Jess, thank you so much for your time today.
No worries, anytime.
Don't say anytime, because then I'll call you back in an hour and we'll do it all again.
Sure.
Listeners, I hope that you are really enjoying this series. Please share it with someone that you think would benefit. They don't have to have ADHD to get a heap of stuff out of what Jess has shared today. Maybe it's someone who has a newborn. Maybe it's someone who's trying to run their own business. Share away, and until then, enjoy the freedom. I would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people, who are the traditional custodians of the land this podcast is recorded on. I would also like to pay respects to their elders, both past and present, of the Kulin Nation, and extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would love you to rate and review the show on your podcast app. That will help others to find the Art of Decluttering podcast as well. If you'd like any more information, you can visit theartofdecluttering.com.au. And I would love to see you in my Facebook group. Just search the Art of Decluttering community on Facebook and join today. I hope that you have an incredible rest of your day and enjoy the freedom.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.